to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. It's right before Isaiah. It's the last of the five poetical books, as they're called: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And one of the things we're going to notice here in the Song of Solomon, all the language throughout the Song of Solomon is very expressive of the bridegroom and the bride. And so for the Christian, the way we would interpret these Old Testament passages is, of course, we know all through the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is referred to as the bridegroom, and the church or the saints are referred to as the bride. And so when we approach the Song of Solomon, interpreting it that way, this book is just so special and precious to us. And we see, and hopefully we'll see today, just the love that the Lord has for us. Amen. But that theme runs all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the bridegroom coming for his bride. We see it in types and shadows and figures in the Old Testament. We see Isaac and Rebekah. We see Ruth and Boaz. And Isaac, a type of Christ, Rebecca, a type of the church, all those things. And so same thing here with the Song of Solomon. It speaks of the love, the great love that the bridegroom has for the bride, amen? And for us, that speaks of that great love that Christ has for us, amen, as his bride. So we're going to read chapter number 2. We're going to read verse number 8 to 13. Bible says in verse number 8, it says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, shewing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Amen. And let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for the great love that you had for us in sending your son. We thank you for the love that he had has for us and allowed himself to be a sacrifice. And we just appreciate the word of God this morning that reveals these things to us. And so we just pray now this morning, committing the service into your hands. We pray for our pastor preaching this morning, that you would just anoint him and bless him this morning also. And we commit this service into your hands. Amen. So anyways, if we begin to, if we looked real quick over in chapter number 1, I'll try to give you a little review of it. We see in chapter number 1, with verse number 4, it says, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Look at what it says. "The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And this is speaking of how the bridegroom takes the bride, or in this case, the king, brings her to his chamber, brings her to his place. It talks in this chapter 1. I don't want to read the whole thing of them eating, sitting at the table in verse number 12. And that speaks of us after we get saved and how we're at that table with the Lord, that table of fellowship, and how we fellowship with him and with one another. In verse number 5, it says, "I am black, but comely," and that speaks of the child of God, how we have that sin nature, we had that sin in us, but yet after salvation we become We're comely, we're beautiful in the eyes of God because our sins have been forgiven, amen, forgiven. And then we get over to chapter number 2. But if you read these, it's a small book, it's only a few chapters, I guarantee it'll be a blessing to you when you look at this as the bridegroom being Christ and you being the bride and just seeing the love and the relationship. But the first thing that we're going to notice in verse number 8, it says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, amen. And he's the one that had to come, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, for us, it's past tense. We know that he came. But that bridge, that separation between man and God had to be bridged by him. That gap had to be closed by him. And so he came, amen. He's the one that came. His love was displayed to us, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. And Luke, the Bible says, the Son of Man is come, amen, to seek and to save. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15 says, faithful, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. And so thank God he came. When I was studying this message, I thought of that song. I don't know if you know it, Roger. That one, He Came to Me. That one, I don't know if anybody knows that that song. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. You know it, Lynn? Because I could not come to where he was. He came to me. And thank God, amen, that he came to us. Our sin had separated us from God, amen. There was a problem, and he came, amen. And so just like this bridegroom coming, amen, for that bride, some of the ways that he came, we notice in verse number 8, he came powerfully, amen, because the Bible says in verse number 8, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, amen. And so when the Lord came, with the great power, amen. He came with the soul-saving power, amen. He came with the power to forgive sins. He came with that power to make a way for us, amen. And the bottom line was, and the fact is that we were separated from God. And if he didn't come, amen, with that power, with that soul-cleansing power, amen, all of us would be still in trouble. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10 says, now is come the kingdom. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, amen. And he had that power. He had that power to change your life, amen. He's the one that has that power that can take a drug addict and make them clean and make them acceptable, to take a promiscuous woman, change her life, make her holy. He's the one that has that power, amen. And so when he came, amen, the fact that he came with power, amen. It says in Matthew 24, 30, the Son of Man is coming, amen, in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. And so thank God he has that life-changing power. He can sanctify us. He can justify us in the sight of God, amen. He reconciles us back to God and can rectify and fix broken lives, amen, and the things that things that we had messed up in the past and destroyed in the past, he can fix those things, amen, and reconcile us back to God. Another thing we see in this verse number 8, he came powerfully, leaping upon the mountains, and we see that he came joyfully, amen. Look at what it says in verse number 8, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, amen. And if you see somebody skipping, they're probably happy, amen. I mean, if somebody is skipping down the road, and you see the, sometimes you'll see the little kids or something. Usually it's girls, amen. Usually, if, I can't remember the last time I was skipping anywhere, amen. It says he came skipping, but that speaks to us and talks about the joy and the cheerfulness that the Lord has, amen. He said in the Psalms, and he says over there in Hebrews, I delight to do thy will, O God, amen. It was a joy for him to come. Thank God he wasn't disgruntled. You know, when we used to have our church over in Connecticut, we had a woman there, and she just, anytime we wanted to do something extra, or anytime we, you know, maybe we wanted to have a potluck or a Mother's Day breakfast, oh, she would always complain and gripe, oh, we got to do this, and we got to, oh, we got to have another potluck and things like, and finally one day I said, well, why do you even bother coming? Don't come. But she felt like she had to, you know, because her husband was an officer of the church, you know, but that ugliness and stuff spewed out of her, you know, so we would have rather had her not come, amen. In the case here with the Lord, he did it joyfully, amen. Imagine if Jesus said, Mary Jane, come on, Dad, you're making me go down there. I'm up here in heaven. I mean, this is beautiful. Everybody loves me here. You're going to make me leave. You know, I just built an addition on my house, and I've got a hot tub now, and I was going to have a cookout Friday, and now I got to go down there, and everybody's going to hate me, and they're not going to like, and I got to stay 3.5 years. Come on, you know. Thank God he did it joyfully. Amen. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he wanted to obey God, and that's how much he loved you and me, is that he was willing to leave and to go and do that, amen. And he did it joyfully, knowing he was going to come down here, the sin of the world was going to be transferred upon him, knew he was going to be crucified, a horrible, horrible death, knew God was going to turn his back on him for a short time, when he who knew no sin was made sin, amen. But yet he still did it, amen, joyfully, and he did it cheerfully, amen. And according to the Song of Solomon, he came skipping, amen. And so, anyways, another thing we notice in verse number 9, look what it said. It says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Look what it says. Behold, he standeth, amen. He standeth behind our wall, amen. And this reveals to us that wall is ours, amen. And that's our wall. And the only thing that will ever separates us from God is when we put up a wall, or maybe those resentments or rebellion and things that are in our life put up a wall, amen. He never turns his back on us. We're always the one that turns our back on him, amen. And really, and if you think of that, just what a disrespectful thing, amen. Have you ever been talking with somebody and have them turn their back on you and start walking away? Man, I want to hit them in the head with something, amen. Don't you disrespect me like that and turn your back on me when I'm talking to you, amen. You better look at me, amen. And if you start texting when I'm talking to you, I'm going to slap your phone out of your hand, amen. Or usually what I do is I walk away, because obviously what we're talking about is not as important as your text message, so I just walk away. I don't even finish the conversation, amen. But anyways, but he standeth, amen. He stands there at the wall. Revelation 3:20, it says, he stands at the door and he knocks, amen. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, see, it's up to us. We're the ones that close them doors when he wants to have fellowship. Not right now, Jesus. I'm busy, you know. Not right now, God. I got something to do. Not right, God. I'm tired. I don't feel like it. You know, we're the ones that put up those. He's always standing there. He's there. Amen. But we're the one. If any man hear my voice and open the door, amen, I will come in, he said. And so it's up to us, amen, to keep that door open, to keep that fellowship open, amen. Make sure we take down that wall, whatever it is in our lives. Each of us know the things we deal with, the issues and things like that. But any of those things that hinder our fellowship with him and our relationship with him, it's up to us to take them down, amen, and allow him to come in, amen. And so we see he comes powerfully, he came joyfully, we see he stands behind that wall. Another thing that we notice over in verse number 9, it says that he looks, where is it? My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. It says, look at what it says. It says, he looketh forth at the windows. Amen. And so that's the Lord. He's always got his eye on us. Amen. Just like a husband and a bride, especially a new husband or a new bride. Amen. I don't want to embarrass my son. I know you guys have met Megan and they're engaged, but he doesn't like taking his eyes off of her. We'll go to the gym, And he'll be over here lifting weights with me, and he'll put the weights down, and I see him, he looks to see where he is. And that's how God is with us, amen. Always looking, the eyes of the Lord, amen, always upon us. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, amen. And so the Lord's always got his eye on us, amen. That bridegroom is always looking at his bride. He loves her, loves us so much, he doesn't take his eyes off of us, amen. And these it's just his display of his love to us, amen. But he's always looking. In this case here, it says he looks at the window or through the window, amen. Always we're looking for opportunities where he can fellowship with us, opportunities where he can get in touch with us, amen. Opportunities where he can touch our hearts or touch our souls, amen. Because he's the great lover, amen. Jesus, lover of my soul, amen. I love that song. One of the Wesleys wrote that, amen. Jesus, lover of my soul. And thank God, there's no other lover that loves their love as much as Jesus loves us, amen. I mean, there's nothing you could do that would make Jesus love you anymore because he loves you with the perfect love. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less, amen, because he loves us with that great love, the Bible calls it, and that perfect love, amen. And so he's always looking for those opportunities where we can be together with him, whether it's a time of fellowship, whether it's a time of quietness, you know. I know a lot of us guys at work, we years ago, I used to have the radio on every 5 minutes. I mean, the minute I got in the car, boom, we had the radio on. Had a radio in the bathroom. I always had to have tunes, you know. But I tell you what, I like getting in that car in the morning, and I know some of the guys I know and work with that are Christians, keep that radio off, that quiet time, man. Nothing beats that, you know, looking for that opportunity for him to speak to you. You know where I usually get my sermons? Driving in my pickup truck on the way to work, amen. Because I just woke up in the morning, I'm seeking him early, as the Bible says. I have that quietness, amen. He looks for those opportunities in our lives, amen. And so we see here again just another show of his love for us, how he's always looking. Another thing we see in verse number 9, where it says, he looketh forth at the windows. Look at what it says, shewing himself, amen, through the lattice, amen. Always looking for ways to reveal himself to us, always looking for a way to that his love will be manifested to us. And the brother from Portugal that was here a couple weeks ago, he made the statement how we're always looking for fireworks and earthquakes and explosions. But you know what? Sometimes it's just that little thing that God does for you one day that somebody else might think is ridiculous. I mean, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, man, the other day, you know what happened? And I'm saying to myself, man, that's ridiculous. But hey, if it was a blessing to you and it made God real to you, then good for you, amen. And sometimes he reveals himself to us in ways. And he's always, because he's always looking, his eyes are always upon us. He's always trying to reveal himself and show his love to us and his goodness to us and his fondness to us. Some of the best prayers that I ever have answered is sometimes just some little simple things that really don't mean much, but it just makes him so real to you, amen, that and you know that you're his and you know he's there, and it just the whole makes that love special, amen. And I suppose it'd be like a bride, amen. I'm not a woman, but if my husband came home and said, hey, I planned a big vacation for us to go to Disney or something, you know, and you'd be happy. You'd be like, well, that's great. But then sometimes it's just that little time, maybe he'll just come home and give you a flower. And just out of nowhere, it makes you say, oh, man, he does love me, you know, and then reveals his love to you. And that's how Christ is for us, amen. So he reveals himself, always looking towards us, amen. He's the one that came for us, and In verse number 10, we notice another thing where he speaks. In verse number 10, it says, my beloved spake, amen. And she recognizes his voice, and there's no doubts about it, no doubts about who's speaking. All through the Gospel of John, Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And you just, as you begin to develop that relationship with God, and you begin to walk with God, you recognize his voice, amen. Sometimes when you first get saved, I remember saying to myself, man, is this God? Is it the devil? Or is it me? Amen. And I didn't know. I was, but you get to a point as you grow, you know it's the Lord. Amen. Just like one of your kids calls you on the phone, you recognize their voice. Who's this? You know, this is my son calling me. You recognize it. And the same thing with us. Amen. He speaks and we begin to recognize his voice. And as we grow as Christians and as we develop that prayer life, become faithful to church, the basic things. One of the analogy that the Bible has is over in Ezekiel. I think it might be like Ezekiel 27, where it talks about the angel brings Ezekiel. It's during the millennial temple when the river is running, and it brings him in. First, it says, and the water was up to his ankles. And then it goes on and it says, and then he took me further, the water was up to my knees. Then he took me further, the water was up to my loins. Then he took me further, and my feet weren't touching the bottom. And that speaks of like the growth that takes place in the Christian life, amen. When you first get saved, it's like you're just ankle deep, you know. You just got saved, and there's still a lot of you showing, amen. The Holy Ghost hasn't had a lot of time to chip off all the rough edges and help to pull. You're ankle deep, you know. You just got saved, but then the next step it says, then he brought me, and the water was up to my knees, and the knees always speak of in the Bible represent prayer, amen. And so now you got saved, you got in, ankle deep, you got in. Now that water's up to your knees, you begin to develop that prayer life, and you begin to communicate with God. And then a little time goes on, then you're up to your loins, amen. The loins in the Bible represent power. So now you got saved, and you began to develop a prayer life, and now you begin to have the power of God in your life. And then the last one, you're out, your feet aren't touching the bottom, you're just spirit led and walking with God, and he's guiding you and going, amen. And you recognize his voice, amen. You'll recognize his voice. Saul heard his voice, amen, when he called unto him. Peter heard his voice when he told him, arise, Peter, eat, and all those things. And we hear his voice. Sometimes he speaks to our heart. Sometimes he speaks to us through preaching. Sometimes he speaks through us just through one of the saints. Amen. That's why it's so important. I need to go get my water. Amen. That's why it's so important for the Christian to be faithful to church. Amen. But that's why it's so important for you to go to church. You wouldn't believe, because God's designed this a certain way. You may be downstairs just having a coffee, joking around, having a piece of cake or something, talking to folks down there. You might say something just in passing in a conversation that's going to help somebody. And you won't even know it, amen. And so that's why it's so important for us, amen, to grow as Christians, to begin to hear his voice, amen. He'll speak to our hearts. He'll speak to us through his word, through preaching, and through the saints, amen. And you can always be a blessing to someone. I remember one time my mother-in-law didn't want to go to church, and I was like, every time you go to church, you're always a blessing to everybody. People come up to me afterwards and say, oh, it was such a blessing to talk to your mother-in-law. It was such a blessing. And so same thing with you, amen. You're all children of God. We're all in the same family. And you can be a blessing to somebody, amen, without you even realizing it, without you even knowing it, because you've walked with him, you're listening to his voice. He's revealed himself to you. You got in the water, amen, at some point in your life when you got saved. You got up to your knees, you got up to your loins, you began to, and now you're a spirit-led person, amen. And so you can be a blessing to others. Excuse me for 1 second. But we're going to look at verse number 10. again. Verse number 10, we notice, look what it says. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, amen. And we see this here. We see him giving an invitation, amen, inviting her to rise up, away, amen. He comes to take the bride, amen. First, he raises us up, and we come away from a life of sin, a life separated from God, maybe a life of a damaged life, amen, whatever the case may be. For so many people, amen, a life of sorrow, whatever the case may be, and we rise up, amen, he takes us away, we get saved, and then, of course, we all know in the future, he's coming again, and we're going to rise up. Whether you pass away before the Lord comes at the rapture, you will rise, amen, and if you're still alive when the rapture happens, you will rise up and go away with him, amen. But he always gives that invitation to us. Amen. That invitation is universal. That invitation is for all. Amen. I don't know if everybody here is saved this morning or not. But if you get anything out of this message, you need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. Amen. I mean, he proved it. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, that was the love of God on display for the whole world to see. See how much I love you? I mean, what more could he do? Amen. Remember over in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man in hell, when the rich man said, Father Abraham, send someone to go tell my brothers about this place. After he was in hell for a few minutes, he knew it was pretty bad. He didn't even want his brothers or anybody to come visit him. Amen. That's how bad the place was. But he said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to go tell my brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, no. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They got the word of God. Amen. And they've had preachers. And he says, but no, he said, like that's not enough, he said. He said, that's not enough. You need to send someone that rose from the dead. Well, God did send someone now that rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what more can he do to prove to you that he loves you? Amen. God loves you with a perfect love. He sent his son. His son proved it by coming, being that replacement on the cross. Amen. Allowing all the sin of the world, past, present, future, to be transferred onto him to the point where God turned his back on him. The angels of heaven had to look away because the Holy One had become unholy and had to be put to death. Amen. And so God loves you. Amen. And so that invitation is all through the Bible. It says over in the New Testament, come now. Now, not later, not think about it. It says, come now. Amen. It says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Amen. I remember in Worcester one time downtown, I was talking to a fella. I'm not like one of them crazy people. I try to make everybody pray everywhere you go to accept the Lord. But if he impresses it upon my heart when I'm witnessing to someone to ask them to pray and trust the Lord. And I have been witnessing to a fella downtown and the Holy Ghost impressed it upon me. I said, would you like to, after we talked a while, looked at verses, I said, would you like to pray and trust the Lord? And he said, no, I don't want to do that. And out of nowhere, and I said, well, let's pray and tell the Lord that you're not going to trust him. And I wasn't being a wise guy or anything. And he said, well, I don't want to do that. And I says, yeah, but if you're not going to trust him and put your faith in him, you're rejecting him. He's like, well, no, I'm just not ready to make a decision. And I was trying to tell him, no decision is a decision, you see? And so it's important for you. If you're here today and you've been putting it off and you feel like you have to think it out, or I'll tell you what, the gospel, God made it simple for us, amen? Don't overthink it, amen? Some people overthink too many things, amen? But getting saved is not one of them. You're a sinner. He's a savior. He came for you. You need him. Amen. You trust him. Your sins are forgiven. You'll go to heaven. It's that simple. Amen. And so if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, we see the invitation here in the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we see God always inviting folks to come to him. Amen. As a sinner, we go to him. Amen. After we get saved, we serve him, amen. We go for him, amen. And then someday in the future, we're going to go with him, amen. And that, one of the things you got to remember, amen, the rapture, he comes for the saints. And the second advent, he comes with the saints, amen. So you remember for and with, amen. And that's the difference between the two. When that rapture happens, he's coming for the saints. He's going to gather those that are alive up, amen. The ones that have already passed away will rise first. Together we'll all meet in the air. And then we're going to go to be with him. He comes for the saints. 7 years later, then he comes with us. We come with him for the second advent. And that's after the marriage of the Lamb, amen. That's when the bridegroom marries the bride, amen. And then he comes back to earth for a 1,000-year honeymoon, amen. And that's what it is, amen. He's going to come back to the earth for a 1,000-year honeymoon, amen. So he puts us all to shame, amen. Some guys, I took my wife on a honeymoon for 2 weeks, you know. It's like, well, good for you. Jesus taking me on one for 1,000 years, amen. Amen. It's weird being a bride, but amen. But hey, God said it, I'm good with it, amen. But anyways, if you never trusted Christ, you know what? You need to put your faith in him. You need to stop talking yourself out of it, letting the devil talk you out of it. It's the most important decision you could ever make, amen. And for the child of God, you know what? God loves you with the perfect love, amen. Sometimes after, probably like a marriage, amen, sometimes you get where you kind of take each other for granted, you know. I just take it for granted my wife's going to make my lunch every day, you know, and I just go down in the morning and get my lunch box. But if she forgot one day, I would go down there and my whole day would be messed up, amen. And we begin to take people for granted, amen. And maybe you're a saint here, you've been saved for a long time. Maybe you need to renew your vows with the Lord. You know what, Lord, I forgot how much you loved me. I forgot how much you went through for me. I forgot how much you changed my life. I forgot what a rascal I used to be because I've been a Christian for so long, amen. Not to think about it to make yourself feel bad, but to realize and say, boy, God really is good to me, amen. Some of us, our families are saved, our kids are saved. I tell you what, you meet a family where the husband's saved and the wife's not, or vice versa, that's a horrible thing. That's a hard thing. I've seen that case. And a lot of us, our families are saved, our kids are saved, grandkids are saved. I mean, God's good to us, amen, and loves us. So let's bow our heads for a minute. We're going to end it there. But if you're a child of God,